Federal PCs have been stuffed with Microsoft applications since time immemorial. Now more and more users want the cloud versions, but the IRS found that an existing license maintenance contract didn't give it access to the cloud. We get more now from procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of the law firm Petrillo & Powell.
Good morning, Tom.
So this idea of the IRS trying to get to versions of what they call Microsoft 365 products, the cloud version, what happened in this protest case?
Sure. Well, this case arose in a particular context that's important to understand, and that is it was an order under a BPA, under a blanket procurement agreement, for items on a federal supply schedule contract. So these have a set of rules, and one of the keystone rules for this type of vehicle is that whatever is ordered must be already on the contract. And in this instance, the contract and the VPA were limited to maintenance and updates and technical support under existing Microsoft licenses that were owned by IRS. Here, they sought to acquire Office 365 licenses, including an email system that was hosted on Microsoft equipment. And in this instance, they attempted to get that under the BPA, which they had with a Microsoft reseller. A Google reseller found out about this transaction and brought the protest to GAO.
Wow. So that means if you have a license on your own server or on your own machines, that doesn't... Well, I don't know what it says about licensing agreements, because you need a license, a local license, I believe, in order to access the cloud version.
Yeah, well, the issue was whether, the issue wasn't whether or not IRS had licenses for Microsoft products. They did, and they had an Office professional license covering their department. The question was, it was the Office 365 product merely a software upgrade, or was it in fact a new good or service? And the GAO came down on the latter of those. They said that the Office 365 system included the right to have your email application hosted on the Microsoft cloud, and that wasn't part of the old Office professional suite of products.
So we don't really know whether Microsoft cared one way or another. This was Google protesting the Microsoft reseller order.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I suppose Microsoft not to the business, but the party to the protest wasn't Microsoft, it was the reseller.
So this wasn't really something that was put out to bid then, was it?
No, that's the point. The point is that these orders are limited to what's already in the contract, because you want to have competition for the orders, and to the extent you can. And therefore, the only competition you get is when the contract is awarded, or in this case, the BPA is awarded. And since GAO felt that having a cloud service for your email wasn't included in the original competition, it amounted to basically a sole source order. So now IRS either has to hold a competition if it wants to have a hosted email service, or else it's going to have to justify this as a sole source order.
So in a not so much a technological sense, but in a contracting law sense, it was almost like the equivalent of bundling.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's basically an out-of-scope modification, and or treated as an out-of-scope modification, and therefore as, in essence, a sole source contract. There isn't a lot of discussion of the technology in the opinion, although they do look at some Microsoft promotional information that makes it very clear that the Office 365 product is an improvement on the prior Office Professional suite, in that it allows for hosting.
Well, I guess that's progress. Having promotional material make something clearer. We're speaking with Joe Petrillo, a procurement attorney with the firm Petrillo & Powell. And the other case I wanted to ask you about was from a very small company, Access Personal Services, where, unusually, ignorance of the law worked in their favor.
That's right. A few weeks ago, we discussed some cases where companies were not represented by counsel, and they blundered into a variety of unpleasant circumstances. Here it seemed to work in the opposite direction. Access Personnel Services have a contract, a time and materials contract, with the Navy, and certain costs were disallowed after a DCAA audit. They wrote to the contracting officer, and contracting officer said, "Nope, I agree with DCAA, and your costs are disallowed." But that's all the contracting officer said, and they continued to correspond about this, and the company went to SBA and tried to get their intercession, and 4 years elapsed, and after the contracting officer made this ruling, and the company showed up at the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals and filed an appeal. So the Navy moved to dismiss the appeal as being filed far after the 90-day appeal period expired. Now, the wrinkle here was that the contracting officer's decision wasn't identified as a final decision, and it did not include information or language required by the federal acquisition regulations. The language tells the contractor about its appeal rights, gives it the deadline, and explains where the appeal can be filed. So under many, many years' worth of cases, that would have invalidated the contracting officer's final decision, and the deadline would not have even begun to run. About 20 years ago, though, the Court of Appeals of the Federal Circuit decided that rule was too lenient, and it overturned it, and it said that the contractor had to show that it relied on the defective final decision to its detriment. And here, that set up the situation where the company's ignorance was an advantage. The company was represented by its president in the proceedings, didn't have a lawyer. Company president said, "Look, I didn't know I had any appeal rights. I certainly didn't know what the deadline was. And I'd never heard of the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals." So the board took that information at face value and said, "Well, looks like this company relied to its detriment on the defective decision."
In other words, it didn't get its Miranda rights read.
Exactly. It did not get its contract Miranda rights read, and as a consequence, the government's going to have to deal with this appeal.
Interesting couple of cases. I don't know quite if there's a thread there, but they both struck me as, well, one, there was not a competition, and yet a competitor found out about it. So I guess you got to be careful, even if there is no competition, about would-be bidders finding out. And the other is, if you're the contracting officer, you've got to tell people, by the way, if you don't like my decision, go ahead and appeal it.
Well, you know, these cases always bring up some new facet that we hadn't seen before, and or need to remind us of things that we've learned a long time ago. And so the government contract case law is just a rich vein of lessons to be learned.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with the firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.